Coming up, the New York Football Giants and Joe Shane made a big splash as the tampering period for free agency brought a massive deal for one Brian Burns. Second round pick, fifth round pick, enormous contract. Was it the right move? Will the impact be what Giants fans expect? And did Joe Shane address the offensive line the way that we needed him to? We dive into it all coming up next. Yes, my friends, it's OGP, the One Giant Podcast, where you know that we are your hosts. Over here, Adam Armbrecht. Over there, Andrew Makowicz. We might think that we are healthy, wealthy, and wise, but it is Brian Burns, his wallet, and his agent that did all the work yesterday as the Giants make the big splash. We'll get into the offensive line. We'll talk about just the free agent market as a whole. Obviously, Saquon Barkley gone. Obviously, Xavier McKinney gone. But at the very top here, this was the big swing, it looks like, for the offseason for Joe Shane and the Giants. Andy, Brian Burns, while we got the breadcrumbs as the day was moving along, this picked up traction pretty quickly after he had been tagged originally by the Carolina Panthers. Initial reactions, money, we'll get into the details of the contract and all that stuff. But did this feel like the home run hit that you wanted Joe Shane to take this offseason?
It is one of the routes that Joe Shane could have taken. And I am philosophically aligned to what Joe Shane is looking for. We talked about in our live show.
It must be election season. This is up here politicking.
I understand how you use my words and phrasing very carefully. But listen, we talked about the philosophy yesterday. Right on our live show about if Saquon Barkley leaves, if Xavier McKinney leaves, it will be Joe Shane pivoting from what he deems non-premium positions over to areas that are considered premium positions. And when we talk about, well, what's premium? It's either the quarterback, which we already have one on a large deal. It's wide receiver, which we're all expecting to be in the draft. And then it's the offensive and defensive line. And so Joe Shane made a decision to say, we need pass rushing help. We need to get after the quarterback. Azeez Ojulari has not been the complement to Kayvon Thibodeau that we hoped he would be. Let's go get the best pass rusher on the market available. And by hook or by crook, by trade and salary demands, the Giants ended up getting the best one that was available. And it's still a guy that is 25 years old. You expect him to be ascending. And this is a trend for Joe Shane. He's not going out and giving big money to a 30-year-old. That's not something that he really has in his thing. He thinks about, how do I make sure these contracts stay evergreen and we get the production that we're expecting? It's usually those years from 24 to 28, 29. And that's exactly where Brian Burns falls into.
Yeah, Brian Burns, who will be 26 next month. I think sometimes, Giants fans, or if you want to paint the prettiest of pictures, and I know this isn't what you're doing. Everyone's like, he's just 25 years old. I'm like, well, he is 26. In April will bring his 26th birthday. And by the way, that's the prime of your career. It takes nothing away from the value of making a move like this. Brian Burns, full contract details per Dan Duggan. 5 years, $141 million with $87.5 million guaranteed. The guarantees are $25 million signing bonus, a 2024 base salary of $18 million, 2025 base salary of $22.25 million, and his $22.25 million base salary in 2026 is guaranteed for injury at signing, with 10.75 of that 2025 salary in fully guaranteed at the time of the signing. So all in, 23.5 this upcoming year, 27.7 and ascending all the way up to $30.5 million in 2028 for Brian Burns and the New York Football Giants. And then the other part of this, obviously, is that you're going to be talking about the Giants giving up a second round pick, the higher of their 2 second round picks in the upcoming draft, a fifth round pick as well, to bring Brian Burns in to sign him to this contract. And, I agree with you. There's different ways that you can go. There's different swings that you can take. When you go over and look at, I think what's going to be interesting to me is, played for the Carolina Panthers, obviously, have not been a stalwart of the NFL so far. He's coming into the Shane Bowen system. You mentioned Azeez Ojulari. I think this is being a step ahead of what has been a player that has injury issues and probably is not going to earn a second contract with the Giants. So you feel like you've already taking care of that area of need. You're going to improve Kayvon Thibodeau's day-to-day operations when he steps onto the football field, hopefully help Bobby Okereke, hopefully help Dexter Lawrence. So you get one of the better players and maybe the best player available at that position, as you mentioned, but he is now the fourth highest paid defensive player in the NFL. And other contracts are going to come in, and you know, 1 or 2 years from now, maybe it's going to fall into line. This is a hefty price tag, a guy with 46 career sacks, 246 combined tackles, 151 solo, 95 assists, 59 for loss. The player and the stats usually look a lot larger when you go and give out a contract like this or make a move like this. Do you have any concern before? I mean, listen, I think it's a great value. I think you improve this team. And if you look at that core now with Thibodeau, with Okereke, with Lawrence, and now with Burns, you feel like that defensive front is going to be hopefully one of the more dynamic in the NFL. Do you have any concern, though, that this is a pivot to a player and to a positional need that comes at a somewhat big cost for a team that may not be high-level competitive for the next season?
I don't have concerns about the approach. This is my whole thing about this. Adam, he is 25. He's going to be 26. So when you look at the contract and the way it was structured, essentially, dollars and cents aside, it's a three-year, $90 million deal, right? That is essentially all the Giants are on the hook for. So in the next 3 years, they're going to pay just under $30 million per year to be able to have Brian Burns. That is his 26 years old, 27, and 28 years old. And then they can decide the last 2 years before he turns 30 whether or not they want to keep him. So when you talk about the totality, it was originally reported like a five-year, $150 million deal, right, which made it seem like, whoa, like what are the guarantees going to be on this thing? Really, it's a three-year, $30 million per deal. You may sit there and say, well, that's top five edge rusher money. Well, Brian Burns is regarded very highly in the league right now. Less than a year ago, less than 12 months ago, the Rams tried to trade for Brian Burns, knowing that he wanted this salary, and were willing to give two firsts and a second-round pick to be able to get Brian Burns. Because Carolina doesn't know what they're doing, and they wanted to keep Brian Burns for a year where they won two games with a rookie QB, makes no sense at all, they end up settling for a second and a fifth. Just absolute malpractice on their part. But just think, we're 12 months removed. Brian Burns didn't have a critical injury or anything else from when he was worth two firsts and a second. To me, the value is great for what we're talking about here. You're talking about a young, ascending, edge rushing pass rusher that can wreak havoc on a quarterback. You cannot double team both Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns. And think about Dexter Lawrence up the middle. The Giants have created nightmare problems for offensive line because you can't just say, let's just take care of Kayvon Thibodeau, or let's focus in on making sure Dexter Lawrence can't get up the middle. You now have bona fide pass rushers on both sides and up the middle that are going to give offensive coordinators fits.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, there you mentioned about you can't double-team this player, that player, the other player. Remember, Brian Burns in his rookie season, 16 games, 5 started, but then 15 games, 14 starts, 16 starts, 16 starts, 16 starts over these last three seasons. So you're talking about a player that has been incredibly consistent as well. We mentioned Azeez Ojulari. It's not a knock on him as an individual, but it's just a reality. He is not a player that's been able to stay healthy and on the field. So reliability and consistency matters here. You think that you're getting a player in Brian Burns that's going to be able to show up every single game and make that job easier for everybody else without having that variable and more of a necessity to say, look at our depth. Do we have the right pieces behind Azeez? How are we going to go down in distance every single time we get onto the field?
There's a couple of other notes that I think are important that maybe are tangential to what everyone's thinking about with Brian Burns. First, I'll go with the production. Some people, I've gotten messages from a bunch of friends and family and Giant fans that are like, Brian Burns, only 8.5 sacks on a bad team. Shouldn't he be shining out? Like, oh, yeah.
We've done these conversations before, right? The sack stat need not be the end all be all, right?
Well, the whole thing is, can we put a little context around it, right? Like the Panthers have been a tire fire for 2 years, right?
That's right.
They had Sam Darnold, they had Baker Mayfield, they had whoever, and they fired Matt Rhule last year. They had multiple coaches. They were a disaster. They come in this past season. They obviously did not look good with Bryce Young. You know, you look at Frank Wright was there for a cup of coffee. Like, they've had dysfunction. Adam, they've also been trailing in almost every game this season. And so teams don't have to throw the ball as much. They can run the ball down people's throats. They don't give opportunities to Brian Burns. And the other piece of it is that there's not that much talent on the Carolina Panthers. So like when you go in and you're game planning, you're saying there's one guy that we have to make sure doesn't hurt us on defense. And that's Brian Burns. So do we chip him? Do we double him? Do we do whatever? And so he got the majority line share of double teams in Carolina and still managed to get 8.5 sacks. So like, I think that's something that people need to understand contextually that like, yes, the numbers don't eye pop and say he got 18 sacks, but he was still productive.
Yeah.
There's two quick things that I'm going to say about Brian Burns. One is the compensation pick piece of it. So the way that the Giants structured this deal, as opposed to going out and paying for Bryce Huff, as opposed to going and trying to get one of the top edge rushers on the market, the Giants had the Carolina Panthers sign the extension with Brian Burns and then trade him afterwards. It means that this contract does not fall into the compensatory picks that the Giants have to be able to give out later. And that is important because the way that Joe Shane has done this by letting Xavier McKinney walk, letting Saquon Barkley walk, and making fiscally responsible signings elsewhere and trading for Brian Burns' contract, the Giants are actually going to get a pretty good compensation package depending on what the rest of the moves are to fill out the roster. That to me is important. I think that is something that Joe Shane is keeping in the back of his mind.
Yeah, you try to figure out ways to manipulate who you have coming in and who you have going out. We obviously know Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney, players going out the door. Giants retained a couple of guys, brought in a couple of offensive linemen that we'll get to here in a second. But yeah, it's all part of the equation. And, you know, at the time when these rumblings started up, I said over on Twitter, I was like, boy, you know, what is this going to look like? Because to your point, so I got some pushback saying, oh, you wouldn't give up a second round pick to get Brian Burns. I said, no, I was concerned that they said they wanted first round equivalent value in order to trade Brian Burns. Like you talk about with the Rams a year ago at the deadline. If you had told me that a player was involved or that first round draft capital was involved, you'd have to put it through a slightly different prism. The fact that it's second round pick, the fact that you got an extra pick from the Leonard Williams deal in season, that his contract was valued in that $20 million kind of range. A lot of people are saying, hey, let's look at it like swapping out one for the other. You don't do that because you chose to move on from Leonard Williams and you had that money freed up to spend as you want. But I do think if we're looking at age, if we're looking at production, if we're looking at fit and value for the need that you had on this roster, a move like this for Brian Burns is hopefully going to mean that this defense on a week-to-week basis, down to down, becomes more consistent. There was a lot of feast or famine over the last couple of seasons under Wink Martindale. That's a product of the system, but it's also a product of just not having players that you could rely on every single down to serve that role. Brian Burns is one of those guys.
The last thing I wanted to mention, Adam, and that's a really good point about more consistency on the defensive line. We haven't gotten that from Azeez Ojulari because of injuries. This is something that I haven't heard people talk about, but it's something that I think is resonating in Joe Shane's mind. I'm putting my GM hat on. The other thing that you need to do with where other teams kind of come up against it is you have ascending players or players that you need to pay ending up all being in the same year.
Sure.
The way the Giants are doing this, Brian Burns is the only big contract that they're giving out this year. It means that he's not going to be up in the next couple of years when Deontay Banks is up or you know whoever else that you're going to need to pay. Insert next guy up here. And so you want to flight these contracts to be able to restructure some of them to get more money to pay the next crop. But you also don't want to fall into a spot where you're, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, and now you're paying A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, and now DeVonta Smith is up and there's no money available for him to be able to get it. So I think Joe Shane is thinking like you want to have each big contract kind of scale out so you have the flexibility to either have people that are cap casualties, restructure people, or know that your money's going to be allocated somewhere. I think that's a good move on Joe Shane's part.
Last one here, and we give credit to Bobby Skinner, who does a good job, obviously, covering the Giants as well. He broke this down, which I think is where you'd say, what is the next step for Burns here? How does he fit into the system, and how do you maximize his value? His best sack year, we understand it's not the end-all, be-all, 10th overall at the edge rusher position in 2022 with 12.5. QB hits, 27, 23rd, and 15th, descending over these last three seasons. Pressures, 69th, 11th, 29th. Total sacks slash pressures and hits, you're talking about 53rd, 12th, and 23rd. So 2022 being the standout year. And then pass rusher win rate, 37th, 59th, 77th. Now, the best was this past season. You mentioned their 2023 at 13.1. All of those things give you the context of, okay, this guy needs to take that next step. Okay, this guy needs to play with better talent. Okay, this guy needs better coaching. But I don't think that those numbers, and I think Bobby is giving good context there, but it's also, I'm not going to know what I know until I see it for the Giants, right? At the end of 2024, I'll know whether or not this was an overpay, whether the contract is too big, and whether there's a little bit of buyer's remorse. But I expect all of those, not every single category. I expect his numbers to improve, being on a better team with playing better players. And I expect Kayvon Thibodeau's numbers to look significantly better as he goes into year three, because you have a player like that playing across from him.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, as you mentioned. Like, it elevates all of the defensive line. It makes it harder, and Kayvon Thibodeau can't just be doubled every time, or Dexter Lawrence can't be doubled in the middle. So it helps the entirety of the team. But yes, this is why I like the philosophy of what Joshane is doing. Investing in a premium position at a player that is only 25, turning 26, that, you know, across the league is regarded as one of those guys. If you put him in the right situation, you can see 15 sacks out of him. Like, you know, it's the reason why the Philadelphia Eagles decided to make the decision for Saquon Barkley. We're like, over the last couple of years, he's been injured. His yards per carry hasn't looked good. They're saying, well, in a better offensive system with a better offensive line, we should see that ascension that we think we can get from a really talented player.
And before we tap into the New York Football Giants offensive line improvements, we do want to talk a little bit about that running back market. Came on live yesterday, talked about Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles. Giants fans may need to head over to Pietential.com, P-I-E-T-N-T-I-A-L, and go ahead and get yourself a wellness assessment, because it's an easy online tool, basically a survey free for individual users that checks in on your well-being, sets benchmarks, gives you tools to improve, and also tracks your progress along the way. So if you are having a hard time with Saquon Barkley posting his IG story that flips his blue for the Giants to the green of those Dirty Bird Eagles, get over to Pietential.com, P-I-E-T-N-T-I-A-L today. As I say, 100% free for individual users and a great wellness assessment and improvement tool. Speaking of improving, Saquon Barkley improved himself by earning a massive payday from the Philadelphia Eagles. This was building up there. We won't spend too much time on it, Andy, but as you were away when we did the live yesterday, some running back market perspective, ultimately Saquon Barkley gets paid, but it didn't look like this was necessarily a market that got a lot of guys at that position significant paydays, which was what we anticipated. There was a little smoke and mirrors involved with a couple other players moving, such as Josh Jacobs, as he moved on from the Raiders.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when you first saw the initial deal of DeAndre Swift come out, and you kind of said, huh, DeAndre Swift is getting 3 years, $24 million, $8 million annually with 15 and a half guaranteed, a little bit more than what people were expecting. Yeah. And you kind of said, well, but that's pretty good value because you look good for the Eagles. And then we mentioned it on the podcast, like, a lot of the Bears fans aren't happy. Like, why are we spending $8 million when we have Roschon Johnson, we have Khalil Herbert? Like, we have enough there. We probably should spend that $8 million elsewhere. And so the reaction was kind of some pushback from it. You know, you were on live when the Saquon Barkley deal popped out, and you heard the Josh Jacobs deal, which came out of left field for the Packers, at a four-year, $48 million deal. You're like, wow, that agent got a tremendous deal for Josh Jacobs. But then as you see everything settle, all the contract details come out, you see the other ancillary tier two and tier three signings, and the Saquon Barkley contract sticks out like a sore thumb to me, Adam. Because when you look at the Josh Jacobs deal, his was the only one that's been a four-year commitment, and it was for $48 million. But in actuality, it's a one-year deal with an average value of $12 million, with $12.5 million guaranteed, and three option years for the Green Bay Packers. So essentially, it is basically a franchise tag that the Green Bay Packers lended out to Josh Jacobs. And you look at it, and the only other person that got even half the amount of guaranteed money that Saquon did was DeAndre Swift, just over half of the guaranteed money that Saquon got. And Bears fans are not even pleased with the fact that DeAndre Swift got that money. So when you look at it in its totality, guys like Zach Moss got $4 million, Devin Singletary got $6.5 million with the Giants. The running back market was not as robust as we kind of saw the DeAndre, Josh Jacobs contracts would expect it to be, right?
Yeah, at least initially, the Josh Jacobs one is interesting to me. I was going to say it is also weird. Like three club options. Effectively, and I could end up being wrong here. That sounds a lot like you will not be the running back for the Green Bay Packers next year, because NFL teams, they never options. There's always a cheaper option. And oh, by the way, the running back that they released because he wouldn't take a near 50% pay cut as reported, Aaron Jones, he actually will, as we record in real time, let you know that Adam Schefter reporting that he is expected to sign with the Vikings on a 1-year, $7 million deal, Rosenhaus being his agent there as well. So, you know, it's interesting because I think the AAV, the average annual looks pretty good for the running back market overall. The problem is that outside of Saquon Barkley, it looks like it's a lot of 1-year kind of values, a lot of easy get out money. Even when you talk about $15 million guaranteed, well, okay, but over two seasons, so you're only, you know, you're averaging out $7.5 million, maybe $8 million, depending on the situation. So I'm not surprised by it, and I will even say too, because we talked about this, we'll go look at the numbers, and people are doing this right now when it comes to Saquon Barkley. They've even put this up. Singletary, Andy accurately called this, gave you your credit yesterday as well on the live, because you said this was the type of player that would make a lot of sense for the Giants to add to the backfield if Barkley left. They put up, here's his career rushing numbers. Here's Barkley's. Like, let's stop here. Saquon Barkley is the clear-cut home run hitter. He is the elite talent in this class. I think the Eagles wanted to make a bit of a symbolic payment towards him, but there was a division here. We didn't believe that Josh Jacobs is on that same level at his best. We don't believe any other running back on the market is at that level at his best. We also didn't believe that the New York Football Giants could afford to pay anything close to what he ended up getting from the Eagles, understanding where they are and understanding that we believe that they would take kind of a sum of our parts approach, Singletary being the first step of that.
Yeah, and I believe Singletary was a great signing. When you think about the running back room, Christian McCaffrey's making the most annual average value, $16 million, quarterback on a rookie deal. Alvin Kamara's next at $15 million. There's rumblings that he may have to take a pay cut. Jonathan Taylor just signed for his $14 million per year, which we'll see how that ages. And then Saquon Barkley comes in at fifth in terms of annual value. Following him is Nick Chubb, who, devastating injury. Will they keep him at $12.2 million? Don't know. And then you have Josh Jacobs. So you're talking about a handful of guys, five, six guys in the league that are getting more than $10 million plus annually. And then you get into the DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard, et cetera, situation. So the running back market has kind of been stymied. The Giants made a very clear business decision. They said, we are better at allocating our funds and getting 80% of what Saquon provides and getting 80% of Saquon Barkley with Devin Singletary and getting significantly better across the offensive line by adding those dollars we saved to contracts that we could put out there.
And that's where we go to next here. I touched on this on the live too, because it was coming at the same time, but didn't get into the weeds on it and didn't get the second signing that came a little bit after we concluded. Listen, we were both big on Robert Hunt. He's going to Carolina, as a matter of fact, on a 5-year, $100 million deal. So we know it's big dollars there, obviously, $69 million guaranteed. We also saw some other moves, like on Wenu. He went to the New England Patriots, or going back to, we should say, $57 million on his contract. We saw Lewis going to Carolina as well, which, by the way, like we'll talk about at some point in the offseason. Carolina made some moves here to try to say, hey, our second-year quarterback is going to have a better year too. $53 million for him over 4 years. You start to work your way down this list. And in the mix here, in between some of these big dollars, this little one got slid in there by Joe Shane and the New York Football Giants. And that was John Runyon Jr., has some pedigree at the NFL, obviously, going from Green Bay, joining the New York Football Giants, 3-year, $30 million, $17 million guaranteed. And the potential out is a 2-year, $20.75 million. How did you feel when you saw this one come across? Because I'll be totally honest with you. I knew the name, said good player. Thought he was a little bit older, by the way, at the time of the signing, which was going to bother me. He's only 26. But I looked at it as, oh, okay, good, not great. But then you get a little bit more into the numbers. There's a good chance here that Runyon ends up being one of the better value buys on the offensive line market this offseason.
Yeah, it's tough because you know, Pro Football Focus isn't the be-all, end-all, but he has, you know, 60s in his Pro Football Focus grade, and you're like, wow, you're spending $10 million. But the philosophy of Joe Shane is, I want to pay ascending players that we think that we can get more out of. And you kind of dig in and underneath the surface on some of the advanced metrics. When you look at someone like Runyon, he is only 26. He has, since 2020, when he got drafted out of Michigan, has played a ton of games for the Green Bay Packers. So has experience, yet is still young, which is fascinating for the Giants. When you look at the advanced stats of what his pass rush win rate was, it was 94%, Adam. That is ninth among all guards. So the Giants were like, hey, you may not like all this stuff, but we have a 26-year-old, potentially ascending guard, who is top 10 in pass rush win rate. Like, that is something that we can work with. And if we're getting him at half the price of some of these high-priced guards like Robert Hunt, who I really wanted the Giants to have, it feels like a value buy. There is a little bit more uncertainty, I feel, with John Runyon Jr. than there is with Robert Hunt. But that's what you get when you pay half the amount annually and significantly less in guaranteed money. I think there's like a fifth of what Robert Hunt ended up getting. So that was kind of the way that Joe Shane looked at it. He said, I can improve the offensive line. I can get two offensive linemen. I can get one that even gives us guard and tackle flexibility. And my big swing, I can now put towards the defense in someone like Brian Burns.
Yeah, 100%. You end up getting what looks like here. I had this up here a second ago. Played, 16, 17, and 17 games over the last three seasons. Played in 16 games in his rookie year in 2020, though he didn't start any. And by the way, penalties across the board, just five taken in this last season. That was his, quote, career high in that category. So all the numbers certainly look strong for Runyon, I think, overall. Played in 94, 96, and then 85% of the snaps over these last few seasons as well. Mix in a little bit of special team odds there, too, just so you know about it. But do you see that then, as you'll now also highlight, the second offensive lineman sign that the Giants made here? Run that one down, because I feel like the second sign that Joe Shane chose to make here is one that is solid. It's one that tells you Evan Neal has someone looking over his shoulder in camp. And I also don't know if it changes my mind about how I feel about making that position better. Like, it's something, but I still look at this as being, okay, now talk to me potentially about the draft and when do you think you're going to add a player there? Because I don't know what this mix is on this offensive line still at this point with some young players, some drafted talent. I like Runyon. It's an improvement, but this isn't necessarily the big splash fix that I thought the Giants were going to make potentially on the offensive line in the offseason. So it still does leave a little bit of mystery here to me as we work our way into free agency.
So Jermaine Elementor is the other offensive line signing, two-year, $14 million deal coming over from the Raiders. There's a bunch of good news about this whole thing. The first is, he's a guy that was born in the United Kingdom, born near London. He ended up coming over to the United States and was in Denville, New Jersey, is where he started playing football in his high school career. So he's familiar with this area. That's one piece of it. The second piece of it is the guy starts out great. After the signing, he tweets out, I'm excited AF, which I think people know what that means, to be a Giant. Cannot wait to get started and help this team in any way I can. Y'all won't regret it, I promise. So there's a couple things there. He says, in any way that I can, which I find fascinating, his choice of words, because I don't know if Joe Shane and the Giants told him what position they're expecting him to play.
Right, because he asked him, he has a real versatility.
He does have tackle capabilities and guard. The Giants may have come in and said, we need help across the offensive line. Your flexibility is important to us. Mm-hmm. We are willing to compensate you commensurate with that flexibility. We want you to come in here. We think you're going to be an offensive starting lineman. We're going to figure that out along the way. I think this is a smart move by Joe Shane. This is kind of that swing tackle position that we talked about before, but it also has guard versatility. He can do both, which allows Joe Shane in the draft more flexibility to either go get a guard or go get a tackle for someone to be developing. If Evan Neal can't beat out Olamennu in camp, then you have your answer. You know who has to play the right tackle position. If he does, then you can slot Jermaine inside and you have your offensive line solidified across the board. So for me, I really like the versatility, flexibility, and the fact that this guy really wants to be a Giant. To me, all of that checks out. I like this signing almost even more than the John Runyon Jr. signing.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think because there'll be expectations there for Runyon, obviously, when he comes into this one. I don't mind the versatility. Remember, a year ago, you're talking about Matt Pertz, the backup swing tackle, but also he's never going to play when the time comes for a backup swing tackle to get on the field. So there's at a minimum improving that area of it. There's obviously, as we say, those question marks about Nzudu, about a McKathan. What exactly happened there, right? Do they have any future with this team? So you're safeguarding against some of those potential misses in the draft for Joe Shane. I will be fascinated to see how things unfold in camp. And I think, you know, my only concern here, and it's not even about him, the player, it's really about Evan Neal. If you get into camp and it's this back and forth, like, I don't want to have that discussion where, they're both jockeying for position. We'll see how it plays out, right? Too many shuffling of positions, too many guys in and out of lineups. I want the set. So if you're going to beat out Evan Neal and he's going to be a bust, so be it. You are the starting right tackle. I do not want to hear week over week, down over down, right, that we're talking, oh, well, and then we kicked him inside and we took Runyon out and we moved him over to left guard for a game and we shuffled. Like, that's the part of it that I want to be mitigated. And unfortunately, you don't get total clarity on that with these two moves alone like you would if you signed a Robert Hunt or other high-profile guys, but you at least improved that room and you did it in a way that was not massive in terms of contracts. Because as much as we love Robert Hunt, I think we saw that $100 million and we thought, well, that is a big number and probably hard for the Giants to be totally in on.
Yeah, I think John Runyon is an established, guaranteed, bona fide guard starter for the team.
Yes.
I think Jermaine, they said to him, you are starting on the offensive line. And the only question in camp is bring in competition for Evan Neal. There's probably going to be three players that the Giants look at for two spots. And it could be Nzudu, McKathan. Mm-hmm. It could be someone from the draft that's also in the mix here. But it's going to be Evan Neal, those two, Jermaine, and someone from the draft. And they're going to have five guys, and they're going to say, in camp, we're going to start seeing how this materializes. We know Jermaine is going to start either at tackle or guard. We're going to see if Evan Neal can beat out the tackles. And if he can't, then Jermaine moves out, and we're going to see if it's going to be a competition for guard. I really like this approach because of the flexibility, as I said before. And it really allows Joe Shane to say, Evan Neal is our starter until he is not anymore. And I think that's important to be able to see what he's got because of the amount of money and draft capital that's been invested in Evan Neal so far.
Ultimately, as the days continue to unfold here, there could be more. I anticipate, as I think we're down to about $14 million as it currently stands for the New York Football Giants. You got to have some of that flexibility going into the draft, signing your picks, injury concerns, maybe restructures coming here as well inside of the organization. But as it stands, what do the Giants do? Address the offensive line in free agency immediately. That's the first thing to go after that they wanted to take care of. 1A, first thing to go after, is helping this defense, finding balance, preparing for maybe the departure of Azeez Ojulari. They do that in a big way in Brian Burns. No Xavier McKinney, no Saquon Barkley. This changes nothing for the agenda going towards this draft. QB still in play here at 6. Trade up could be possible, though you and I don't think it's likely. Obviously, wide receiver remains a big factor here too, but you've taken a couple of needs off of that board. And when you give up a second round pick like they did, now your first two picks, you're going to be having that same conversation. Now when you pick at 90 and at 108, same conversation. How do we supplement key areas of need on this roster? It'll be interesting to see if the Giants play a little bit more with $2 or $3 million here. What do they look to do maybe between now and obviously the draft to cement one more spot as they move forward?
Yeah, I was reading this morning just about salary cap space. They can always restructure Dexter Lawrence or Andrew Thomas if they need to free up some cap space. Now it's an automatic restructure. But Joe Shane's approach is like, I'm not going to restructure it unless I need the money. And the second I need the money, I can literally flip a switch and I have it. There are a couple things that I think the Giants still have on their agenda in free agency. I expect to see decisions made over the next 72 hours. The two areas to look at are cornerback. One, Darius Williams ended up going back to the Rams. Yep. I think it's going to be a larger contract than Joe Shane wanted. I don't know if they didn't have the details out as of 45 minutes ago, but he's going to get more than 10 plus million. He might get 13 million or something like that in the open market. Be on the lookout to see what that is. I think the Giants will look to get some cornerback help on what's out there. And then I think they will look at Jordan Poyer. I've mentioned his name a million times at the safety position. He is someone that I know that you and I differ on the viewpoint here on. But now that Xavier McKinney's gone for $17 million, you're going to have to look to address the safety position. I think that there's a ton of veterans out on the market. Mm-hmm. Probably going to have to sign one, whether it's for $2 million up to $7 million is where I think Jordan Poyer kind of maxes out at. I know your philosophy is kind of under that. I'll turn it over to you in a second. The quarterback, backup quarterback, veteran quarterback is going to be fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You understand Tyrod Taylor got 2 years, $18 million from the Jets. The Giants were not going to pay Tyrod Taylor $9 million to back up Daniel Jones this year. No how, no way. You see some of the other contracts that are coming out. If the Giants decide to get an established veteran quarterback that makes more than $2.5 million, I am convinced that the Giants are punting on the quarterback in the draft, and they're going to wait until Daniel Jones is off of the cap, and they're going to look to address a young quarterback next season. If they decide to not go in with anything and they have Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito, that is where you start circling and the alarm bells going off saying, Joe Shane with one of those first two picks is probably going to get a quarterback in the future.
Yeah, really like congratulations for Tyrod Taylor. I think he played really well for this team a year ago. I was a big proponent of him, and you can make a case that I was right, that he performed better than Daniel Jones did for the New York Football Giants. Wasn't going to pay him $9 million, as you mentioned. So now you turn your attention over to Tyler Huntley, maybe, who I've mentioned previously in this offseason. I wouldn't mind bringing a player like that into the mix. We'll talk about this live. We will go on YouTube if things break and big information. The quarterback room is fascinating. I think you bring up interesting points about when will the Giants choose to address it? What did we learn from these early free agents' decisions about where they stand on it? But I have a very interesting pitch that we will get to probably tomorrow morning, if not sooner, should things break, when it comes to a decision the Giants could make this offseason that would clear out a large looming contract of one Daniel Jones much sooner than later and maybe start to reset this timetable. We'll get into that, though. They call it a tease in the business. You get over to Twitter at Adam Armbrecht, at AndyMac214, and at One Giant Podcast. We're giving the updates. We're doing the whole thing. We'll see what today brings for Big Blue and the league at large at One Giant Podcast over on YouTube, onegiantpodcast.com. Some articles will be coming out as we get through free agency and offering some perspectives in the short and long term for the Giants. But until next time, my friends, stay tuned for live. Stay tuned for updates. And as Andrew Mackowitz would want, need, and nay, demand the people know.
As always, let's go Big Blue.